Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the show. Here we are 24 hours from now. I'll be sitting at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club and enjoying a refreshing beverage, probably bandaged up after having some incident where Kevin did something, either with a cart, a ball, or a club. Be thinking about workman's comp, all sorts of things. But I'll also know that we raise money for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, which is the most important part of the end. Be showing up early tomorrow morning. I'll probably be at the country club maybe about 6:45, dreaming of a great day, relishing the company of Mark Mahoney, our marvelous IT guy, Drew Kelly, well-respected friend, colleague. I think we have a fourth, too, don't we? Who's the fourth?
You know who the fourth is.
Ah, yes, that would be you.
You are correct.
We're riding the same car together.
I think they did put us in the same car, yeah. Which you can drive. I'll let you drive it.
Yes, considering I'm the one that made the decision to not sit under the tree any longer when it was lightning. The last time. Thank goodness I was driving. You looked at me and said, I don't know. They haven't sounded the horn yet. I'm like, I'm not going to wait for any horn.
And then I followed it up with, I don't think the heavy stuff's coming down for quite some time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I get the heck out of there. 30 feet from the clubhouse, the horn went off. I looked at you and I said, happy now?
I felt better.
Yeah. Tomorrow, though, gorgeous day. I cannot wait to play the course and have a lot of fun. And it's for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Our good friends at Sunbury Motors are a prime sponsor of this tournament and of the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Tom and the gang will be in the afternoon flight tomorrow. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store, the 21st Century General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Yesterday on the show, Captain Panic emerged again. Captain Panic was already panicking over whether the Phillies would sell Dominic Brown. Who would the Phillies get rid of in a sell-off? I pointed out to him and gave him this analogy, that the baseball season is at the exact same spot the NFL season would be after 6 weeks. Game six, 10 to go. You got 57, 58 down, 104 to go. He's already panicked, and he's selling the farm. He's opened up the barn door. He's letting all the animals run free, hoping that new animals will come in from some location. I say you got to wait 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Let it breathe. Find out where you really are, especially with the second wild card. Then you make a decision on selling and buying. Not Kevin. It's June 4th. He's selling now. Why? Always remember one of my sayings. The worst kind of management is one that manages by panic. That's why it's good that you're on a radio show and not running a baseball team.
I did forget about the other wild card spot this year. I did forget about that.
Oh, brutal. Okay. But if I were to ask you an IndyCar question about some innocuous thing, you'd know right there, like, you know, how many times you can hit the power boost button.
That was 10 at Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. Millions of more people watch baseball than IndyCar racing, so they know there's a second wild card.
Now, I'm sure there's some people that forgot about it like me.
And I'm sure now they both feel better, like you. Time now for Above the Noise.
Please.
Here's Dan Patrick.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. Like a 2008 Honda Fit HB Mansport. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. 2010 Chevy Equinox four-wheel drive LT, $13,985. 2010 Ford Focus, reliable and affordable, just $13,997. 2011 Ford Escape four-wheel drive XLT, just $18,877. 2010 Ford Roush Mustang 427R, a must-see, $33,995. And a 2009 GMC Canyon Crew Cab. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. These deals won't last, so hurry in. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24-7 at sunburymotors.com. At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Steve and Kevo with you on a Tuesday. Tomorrow we join you live from the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Tomorrow morning we'll tee it up for a great cause, the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, one of many great causes in our area, but one that they asked us to be a part of, and we, of course, in a very excited way, said yes, enthusiastically. And we'll be out there tomorrow. Please join us. Come on out. I mean, just join us out on the patio. We're going to kick back, talk some sports, and have a good time. And that's what we'll do tomorrow for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Our good friends at Sunbury Motors, they're a prime sponsor of tomorrow's Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. And, of course, you know how we feel about the Purdy family. And Tom and the group over at Sunbury Motors, deeply involved in the community. We are looking forward to being there tomorrow. Also, Hilscher's General Store. I think I'm going to make a stop in there before I get out of there tomorrow. And it's going to the 21st Century General Store. There are a few items on my list I want to get to. And we're going to take care of that tomorrow as well. Might as well stock up at Brewer's Outlet before I leave, too. Andy Russell joins us on the line. Hello, Andy. It's great to have you back with us again.
Yeah, it's good to be back, Stephen. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks, and thanks for carving out the time. One of the real legends of the game passing away, Deacon Jones. As somebody who appreciates and knows defense and saw him firsthand, what made him special in an era of great defensive ends?
Well, he had tremendous quickness, speed, agility, was a very tough dude. I mean, he did the head slaps and that sort of thing, and was just one of the best I ever saw play. You know, I'm happy I was a defensive player, so I didn't have to go against him.
Yeah, no question about that.
And the Rams at that time, when you look back at the Rams, the fearsome foursome and so forth, Lundy, of course, Rosie Greer was first, then Roger Brown, Olsen, and, of course, Deacon Jones. You're somebody who played in back of a great front four. What does a great front four, what does a great defensive end mean for an outside linebacker?
It's terrific. I think our front four was probably every bit as good as the Los Angeles front four, maybe because a little bit better because they had more quickness and speed. But you know, Joe Green and L.C. Greenwood and those guys. But that Los Angeles group was. I think they called themselves the fearsome foursome or something like that, and they were really terrific.
Without a doubt. In fact, that Rams team. Go ahead.
And your point that it makes it a lot easier when when you have a great front four in front of you, the linebackers could just step in and make the easy tackles or when someone's coming through the hole, because they take away all the approaching blockers.
I want to go flip it the other side, because obviously he did such a great job defensively, as did the group of them, Myron Patios, Jack Pardee, and those guys. You had to face the offense, Gabriel, Jack Snow, Billy Truax, Bernie Casey, Les Josephson, Tommy Mack, Joe Schibelli, some of those guys like that. How tough actually was that Rams team? Because they never got to a Super Bowl, but how much does that tell you the depth of the league at that time?
Well, yeah, I think you make a great point, because they did have both a terrific defense and a very good offense. So, I think Tom Mack went to like 13 Pro Bowls, and so they were very good. We never beat them in the early years of my career, but I think we might have upset them one time late. Like 74, one of those years.
During that time, late 60s, early 70s, what was the depth of the league like, in your opinion?
Well, I thought it was pretty solid. I mean, there were a lot of good teams. You could play anybody, and I think it's true today. I mean, the team is there's no guarantee you're gonna win. Green Bay Packers are terrific, but they can lose, and it's just very, very similar to what's going on today.
Yeah, no question about it. Was Deacon Jones the kind of guy, in your opinion, when you watched him on a film or you saw him in person, was he a guy that could transcend eras? Could he play today and be effective?
No, absolutely. Yeah, he certainly could. I mean, he would probably be weightlifting and would probably be playing at 325 instead of 275. But he had that tremendous athleticism and speed, and he just brutalized the offensive tackle. I mean, I remember looking at the face of our offensive tackle, and it was bleeding, and they had to patch him up after every series of downs. And, but he was brutal.
He was brutal indeed. Andy, thanks so much for carving out a few minutes for us. I greatly appreciate it, because he's one of the all-time greats back from your era, which I think is one of the truly true golden eras of pro football.
Well, yeah, thank you. I got to know him pretty well, because he came to my golf tournament for quite a number of years.
Really?
Yeah, and he and Floyd Little would get up and take the mic over, and they were just like professional comedians. They'd have our audience, maybe 200 or 300 people, just mesmerized. They were just so funny, and I think he got tired of golf, so he didn't come after a while. But he was quite the character.
Big man? Was he a big man in terms of stature? You mentioned he played at 275. What kind of height did he bring to the table?
Well, I think he was 6'4" and a half or something.
Wow.
About that. So he was, he wasn't short, that's for sure.
Lightning quick, too. Andy, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate the time.
My pleasure.
Andy,
thanks you.
Andy Russell,
bye.
Yes, one of Hammer's teammates. And I'll tell you, Jack gives Andy a lot of credit for a lot of things. Stunningly, E. Gordon Gee is going to retire.
Shocker.
Yeah, you don't think somebody like, I mean, to me, this is the equivalent of somebody like casting it out and just reeling him in. Here we go. Yeah. I've talked so often about what gets you in trouble as a public speaker. And when you try to get too cute with the comedy, that's where you get in trouble. And that's what he did. I mean, the derogatory comments he made about Notre Dame, Catholics, the Southeastern Conference, Louisville, Kentucky. There's certain things with an open mic you don't do. I mean, and of course, I've already talked about how he handled the Jim Tressel press conference, which I found to be, if I was an Ohio State fan, I'd be squirming a bit. I mean, a bit embarrassed. But he's also, I believe Gordon Gee is 69, right?
I'll have to look that up, but you're probably a good guess with that.
Yeah. Coming up, we're going to talk with Jeff Tambroni, by the way, Penn State men's lacrosse on the Big Ten going to lacrosse. That's coming up next. News also next. Tomorrow, Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We tee it up for a great cause. The Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. So many people reacted to your suggestion of Dominic Brown being traded.
I did not make that suggestion.
Yes, you did.
I did not. I said I don't want that to happen. I didn't suggest that he should be traded.
Are you out of your mind?
You're twisting what I said.
He's one of the guys you build the franchise around.
Totally agree.
Of course you have to, because even management told you you're nuts.
I totally agree that he should not be traded. That was the point I was making yesterday.
That wasn't your tune yesterday.
Yes,
here
it
you
was.
Are, 6 weeks away before you even have to make a decision. You're like, I wonder if they'll trade Dominic Brown.
I did not say I wonder. I said, don't do that.
Why do you even bring the name up? You don't bring that name up. You don't even bring the name up.
I said, please don't let them trade him.
People are saying, please don't open your mouth. I mean, what are you doing? You don't have to make that decision for 6 weeks, because in 6 weeks, one of three scenarios happen in 6 weeks. We've got the Jeff Tambroni here in a moment. There are one of three scenarios that happen in the next 6 weeks, okay? One is you stay the same and you're just stagnating the way they are now, all right? That's one. Scenario number two is you fall further back. Now you have to, in 6 weeks, start making decisions. What do I do with Cliff Lee? What do I do with Jimmy Rollins? What do I maybe even do? Yes, I will broach the name of Ryan Howard. Okay? What do you do with? I mean, those are big money guys on your roster that, as veterans, are attractive to somebody else. Now, Howard and Rollins fall into the 5 and 10 category. They'd have to approve a deal. But those are the guys that would be in that pool that you're talking about.
And I support a Jimmy Rollins trade.
And also a guy that may fall into that category is Jonathan Papelbon. An attractive guy that would bring multiple prospects that, since you're stagnating, you're not going to need. I'm just throwing out names. Okay, so that's scenario two. Scenario three is, in the next 6 weeks, you suddenly end up being 8 to 12 games over 500 because you start playing pretty well. And you're right in the thick of it. Now you're thinking about, okay, how do I solidify this thing?
How many more times do they play Miami?
But that's irrelevant. You start playing, you know, well enough where you start winning series. And as David Ortiz said last week, when the Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, they said, what does this mean to you to beat the Yankees? He said, all it means is winning series. How many series do you win? Win series. The thing with Miami, they've got one. They got to get another one, okay? If they can get one tonight, okay, now you think about a sweep. But that's how you have to think. How many series can you win? Washington's not doing much of anything right now. You're really not getting a lot of traction from the teams in the West. All the traction is from Atlanta, St. Louis, Cincinnati, and to a point, the Pirates. That's where the traction is right now. Everybody else is pretty much bunched. So those are the three scenarios. Going nowhere fast, treading water, not going anywhere, under 500. No, okay, you got to think about some things. You fall further back because you're not scoring enough runs, and the pitching doesn't hold on well enough. And now you think, okay, we have to be sellers. How do we do this? And who do we do this with? And then the other scenario is start to play pretty well, hanging in there, maybe now 8 to 12 games over 500 at the break. Now you change your tune. That's why the next 6 weeks plays out in all of this before you hit the panic button and you give away Dominic Brown.
I don't want to give away Dominic Brown at all. My fear is that the Phillies will, for some reason, do this.
My fear is, on behalf of the other employees in the station, they're going to test all of us because of you.
I hope
all
so.
Right. All of us.
I hope so.
You hope so?
I hope so.
If that happens and you test negative, I don't even think that looks good for you.
Can't really argue with you there.
All right, let's bring in a guy I have great respect for, and that is Jeff Tambroni, Penn State men's lacrosse. Kevin and I yesterday talked about lacrosse being one of the hottest sports going on now among youth. Well, now the Big Ten's involved, and they'll have a Big Ten lacrosse conference starting in 2015. Jeff, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
When I was talking with Guy Gadowski on the show last week, I brought up the branding of having the big name, of having the Big Ten name behind men's ice hockey. In the world of lacrosse, what can the Big Ten brand bring in terms of elevating the sport collegiately?
Yeah, you know, it's no disrespect to the CAA that we currently compete in, but, you know, there's so many things that come with that brand, and it's probably more of the intangibles. You know, being on campus, a Big Ten campus, there's really just not a whole lot of familiarity with the CAA for our athletes, for the men's lacrosse players. And, you know, I think when you're going on campus and they're handing out Big Ten awards and when you're winning Big Ten championships, that makes sense to, you know, not just the athletes here, but the students here at Penn State. And, you know, we compete for a whole different league, and I think a lot of students here believe that it's more of a club than a varsity at times. But putting ourselves into that same affiliation with our school, I think, is going to give us, our athletes, great pride, the intangible of that pride of competing in our own school's league, competing against schools of our likeness, same size schools, same academic and athletic mission of the school. So I think there's so many things that come to mind that we as a coaching staff, and I know our kids, are going to be so excited about when we ultimately make that move in 2015. So it was a great, great day for the sport of lacrosse, but I think certainly a great day for men's lacrosse here at Penn State.
On the women's side, it was a relatively easy way to go about business because Maryland, Rutgers have it, Ohio State, Michigan have it, Penn State has it. Now you just look at Northwestern and say, okay, that's it, you have six. For the men, though, Johns Hopkins comes in as an affiliate member. To make that happen, to get to six so there can be a conference, what does that now do in terms of the profile of Big Ten men's lacrosse?
Yeah, you know, they used a word a number of times yesterday in their press conference. Both the commissioner did, Commissioner Delaney, the coach, the administration at Johns Hopkins, they used the word historic, you know, an historic day for Big Ten athletics and for the sport of lacrosse, and that's exactly what it was. You know, to make this exception about adding a team as a single sport affiliate to Big Ten lacrosse was unimaginable. I would imagine to a lot of the old time, old school Big Ten administrators and coaches alike, and in our sport, nobody carries more tradition, fanfare than Johns Hopkins does. So if anybody would have asked me, you know, a year or two ago, do I think that we would ever move into the Big Ten, I would say I was hopeful that someday we would get into this type of a conference, knowing that Michigan, of all schools, added the sport of men's lacrosse, and that just gave us hope. But to think that Maryland, Rutgers, and Johns Hopkins, three of the premier lacrosse-playing schools, if you look back at the history of national champions, playoff contenders, their success over the long haul, I don't think we could have imagined Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, we could have imagined handpicking three better schools to represent our league, both academically and athletically, and to move ahead with that kind of tradition in our own league. I mean, it's done a lot already for us just in name brand, but it's going to do a lot for us in terms of attendance here at home, the ability to play down at, you know, historic locations like Homewood Field and Hopkins, Byrd Stadium down in Maryland, and at Rutgers, and, you know, the exposure that all of us are going to get from that is you know, going to be extremely beneficial, mutually beneficial from the teams that are playing in recruiting, on campus perception, you know, everything that that Johns Hopkins brings in the reputability of lacrosse is going to help our league and certainly going to help us selfishly here at Penn State.
In fact, during part of that answer, you mentioned the academic end of it, and so the fans may understand. The CIC, which is the academic brand of the Big Ten, Johns Hopkins wants to apply to be a part of that, and I think fans should also remember the University of Chicago, which dropped sports years ago, is still part of the CIC, so it's not unprecedented to have that kind of affiliation. Next part of this is I was talking on the show the other day, and one thing that we've noticed is there's been, at least to us, an explosion of lacrosse programs on high school levels and other levels up and down the East Coast. What has caused that? Because lacrosse is a great game, but it's also gone along at its own pace in terms of people playing it for a long time until the last, like, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I probably don't know the exact answer that I'm going to just take a stab at this. You know, in the springtime, it's a great crossover for athletes of football, basketball, hockey, soccer, where the movements are fairly similar, the physicality of a football, hockey, fairly similar, and the action, the constant action and pace of the game are fairly similar to those. So I think it's a nice crossover. I mean, mainstream sports have gotten to the point where you know, there's so many kids playing 12 months a year of the same sport because of the demands out of the season, whether it's strength and conditioning or spring ball for sports like football, fall ball for sports like lacrosse, that it's, I think it's taking away a lot of the opportunity for kids to play multiple sports and, you know, be a little bit more multifaceted in their own sport by you know, developing skills on the court or in the field. Other than just their main sport. So I think a lot of that has attracted some of these other sports to come over and to play lacrosse. You know, some of the bigger schools, it's an easier transition. Some of the smaller schools, it's a tougher transition, just developing and fielding a team like that. But it has been, you know, just nice as a coach to see the transformation, even in state college in the last 3 years, to see the growth at the youth level, both boys and girls, has been enjoyable to watch, enjoyable to be a part of. And my family has been a part of that. I have three girls of my own, and my two oldest are playing right now. My wife's coaching. So it's great to see it. I mean, we still have a long way to go, you know, to earn the credibility from east to west, north to south, but small steps. And like I said, this exposure out into the Midwest and in the Big Ten network, a little bit more exposure with ESPN has really helped the credibility of our game. And we can continue to get some crossover, some of the football, basketball, hockey athletes. I think we'll continue to grow not just in numbers, but we'll grow in credibility of athletes and create a high level of product on the field year in and year out.
Let me now follow up on something you just brought into play. That's the Big Ten Network. With a Big Ten men's and women's lacrosse conference, the Big Ten Network certainly would like to get involved and give it more exposure. What can it mean considering the Big Ten Network is in 90 million homes?
Yeah, I mean, for us in recruiting, I don't know if you can quantify what that's going to do for us. I mean, Johns Hopkins has their own deal with ESPNU right now, and they broadcast every game, every home game on the Johns Hopkins schedule. So, you know, it helps us with the exposure of going down now with Johns Hopkins on the schedule, being on TV a little bit more, and that exposure, you know, transcends just obviously State College, Pennsylvania, in terms of the amount of alumni, but you know, equally as important, the amount of future recruits they're going to be able to see you on film and see what kind of brand you're able to bring to the field. And, you know, if it's attractive to a couple each year, that's going to help your recruiting base, help your your camp base in the summertime, bringing more people to Penn State's campus, which then leads to the help in recruiting. You know, the Big Ten got involved last year with a game, men's and women's game last year, which was wonderful for the exposure of men's across, women's across, but Penn State in general. And I'm hopeful that the Big Ten is going to take a longer look at our schedule throughout the course of the year, and also take a look at our conference tournament if we decide to go that route, and make sure that that goes on TV, and you know, hopefully take a little bit of a bigger role. Right now they've had a you know, a smaller role within lacrosse, you know, a few games a year, but right now with a league, with a sanctioned league, and a conference tournament, I'm hopeful that the sky is the limit there, and anything that we can get that's going to be above and beyond that we've had in the last couple of years, it's just going to be so helpful for us to connect with our alumni, connect with our families who can't get here from a little bit further away, and certainly connect with the future generation of Penn State hopefuls.
Drexel ended up being the host of the men's lacrosse Final Four in Philadelphia. The final drew, I think, 25, 30,000 at the link. Looked good on TV and so forth. To you, another step forward in terms of promoting what the sport can mean and maybe expand beyond the borders of where they are?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. With TV, you know, we've talked about this as a coaching convention. You know, 3 or 4 years ago, there was 40,000 people sitting in the stands of Foxborough Stadium down at M&T Bank down in Baltimore to watch the Final Four and to watch championship game. That number has dropped a little bit in the last couple of years, down to about 28 to 30,000, like you said, for a national championship game. TV exposure and the quality of TV exposure has helped bring our game, you know, across the U.S. And, you know, it's brought a lot more attention to the sport, which I think shows in both the youth level and at the high school level, the growth in both boys and girls. The problem is because it is so good, the quality is so good, I think a lot more of our fans are staying home and not traveling and staying away a little bit. But, you know, in regards to Penn State, you know, I think we've taken small steps in our first three years here. Some seem a little bit more painful because patience is not anyone's forte in sport. You know, you want to get there today, but you understand the process and have to enjoy the journey and the process as you go through. So, you know, I'm very proud of what we've been able to produce year in and year out based on a ton of support from our athletic department here, our athletic director here, and based on the tireless hours that our kids have put in. But I think that every one of us is realistic and understand that we still have such a long way to go here through the course of the summer, through the course of you know, the upcoming year and years to come, if we ever want to put ourselves in that particular environment, the Final Four environment, when the stakes get so much higher. You know, but the exposure gets that much higher and the rewards are, you know, at the ultimate level when you have a chance to compete at that level for the single prize of becoming a national champion. So I know our guys understand that. We're starting to understand a little bit more so each year about what it takes to get to that level. And I'm optimistic that our guys will continue to keep their head down, keep working hard, and put us in a position to be there sometime, hopefully in the near future.
You'll have one more year in the CAA, then it'll be the Big Ten. You mentioned your first 3 years here. Do you feel like you have laid a foundation that when you look back, you'll say those first 3 years were so important to where Penn State is going to be?
Yeah, 100%. I would say that our alumni laid that foundation, and you know, credit to our guys just kind of having the pride to follow in behind the lead of our alumni. I think that we've attempted to build on top of that foundation. But yes, I think 100%, as I look back at some of the guys maybe that, you know, probably will get little to no credit if we are ever fortunate enough to get there, we'll be the ones probably most responsible, the guys that were here in the first couple of years when the culture was changing to the point where now we can see, you know, tangible benefits from their efforts, from their leadership back in 2011, 2012. So, you know, so it seems like it's been long years. I mean, there's 3 long years each and every day. You know, we've tried to go out there with a pretty good plan, try to give our guys our vision about what we think it could look like at the end of the year and then build back. But our guys, to their credit, they've brought that same vision, creativity, and they've brought the work ethic and sweat equity necessary. So you know, if we ever are fortunate enough to get there, I know we'll look back with a great deal of gratitude to everybody that's put in a day's work or complimented any of the efforts that we've had to that point. I know that it'll be a gratifying day, knowing how long, how hard we've worked to get to that point. So it won't be something that any one of these guys or our coaching staff just fell upon. It will be, you know, a cause of a lot of sacrifice and a lot of commitment to one cause.
I know patience isn't easy, but I think you've laid a heck of a foundation in your current program. And I just want to thank you for the time you gave us today and wish you nothing but the best of the future. And also, of course, future talks on this show to promote a great sport.
Thanks so much, Steve. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Jeff Tambroni, head coach, Nittany Lion men's lacrosse. We'll come back. We'll talk with the guy that wants to deal Dominic Brown out of town in a moment, Kevin Herr. You're on News Radio 1070 WGOG.